The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
The line who rules over you simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH, I'm Andy, your host, and on today's instalment I'm talking to you, originally recorded and broadcast on Saturday, September the 6th, 2025, at achshow.com. I will be presenting a show entitled, "If Today is Your 67th Birthday, You Might Be Jeff Foxworthy." And the time is 8:20 a.m. here in London, making it, what, 5:20 a.m.? No, what am I talking about? 3:20 a.m. on the East Coast of America and 20 minutes past midnight on the West Coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are around the world. And today's show title, "If Today is Your 67th Birthday, You Might Be Jeff Foxworthy," is a paraphrase of Jeff Foxworthy's "You Might Be a Redneck" jokes, a couple of which I am going to play for you now.
What about things like, if you've been on television more than five times describing what the tornado sounded like, you might be a redneck. If you've ever cut your grass and found a car, you might be a redneck.
There's loads of those you can find on the internet. That is his trademark. That's what he is most famous for. So, another one that comes to mind that he did: if you take a beer to a job interview, you might be a redneck. But you can have a lot of fun with this yourself. But before I get into that, I just want to say happy 67th birthday, Jeff Foxworthy. And basically, what am I going to get to now? Yes, I found something. I'm always dissing a lot of independent media, conspiracy media these days, for reasons that I've given. That one of the most egregious is date predictors that never come true. Okay, well, this is off before it's news.com right now. "It will hit millions of people suddenly. Prophetic word today." And it was put up yesterday at 2:48 in the afternoon, not sure what time zone. And you scroll down and there's no comments on it. And it's almost as if, and it takes you, let's click on where the video is. I think it's over on Rumble. So I'll pause it and then go to Rumble and see what it says on Rumble. But I'm quite encouraged by the fact that nobody's commented on it, because it says to me that people on, and no one's commented on it on Rumble either, went up 16 hours ago. Just over 3,000 people have watched it. So, yeah, I find that encouraging. But the reason I bring this up now is it's not in the Before It's News top 10, so I won't be covering it later. And also, if you want to do a little experiment yourself, how long is this? Just hit 17 minutes, 20 seconds. So you might want to play that, listen to that, and then spend another 17 minutes and 20 seconds seeing how many Jeff Foxworthy type gags you can come up with. You don't have to equate the topic to redneck. You could equate it to any other group that you would like, and spend, you know, 17 minutes or so doing that, and see which of the two lots of 17 minutes was more productive for you and which you're actually happier with the end result from. And we will see. And I might be proven wrong. We might not be here tomorrow. It might finally be the date that we've all been waiting for. But I very much doubt it, based upon the experience that not just I, we've all had with these date predictors that seem to be clickbait. Although, thankfully, on this occasion, it doesn't appear to have worked for that particular article. Okay, so that being said, let's have a look and see what news I have found of interest since Thursday's bonus show, which I urge you to go and listen to if you've not heard it. There's a lot of news in there, and I was pleased to actually get it out the way then, because I was a bit worried. I'd already looked at the news on Thursday when I did it, so I only had basically yesterday. Oddity Central hadn't posted anything for about a week, and suddenly they posted a load of stuff, which was very useful. They did that yesterday or late Thursday, so I thought I've actually got plenty of news in that I can talk about. So let me just look at what I've got first. These are all Oddity Central articles until I tell you otherwise. Fashion brand turns women's underwear into expensive hair accessories. Now, this is something out of Japan. They're called Jenny Facts, and they take a pair of silky women's underwear and then they glue a metal hair clip to them and sell them to you for $120. You can get them in black, pink and blue. So there you go. I'm sure many people will be queuing up for that. I do jest, but I doubt that they'll be putting them out there if they haven't got a market for them, will they? The next one. Women are getting limb shortening surgery to improve chances of finding love. Again, these are all from odditycentral.com. And is it just me, or have you noticed a lot of, I mean, only last week, I sort of waited until we were out of view and stuff like that, but I said to Amanda, did you see that mother and daughter coming out of that shop? And the daughter was like in her teens and about twice the height of the mother, literally, she was well over 6 foot. And I've seen all sorts of these anomalies in recent years. You know, people, and as I say, are not, when I say anomalies, you know, I've got a birth defect myself, so you know, I'm aware of all these sorts of things with the hair lip and the cleft palate. But what I'm talking about, super tall females that I've been seeing, and they all tend to be young. And of course, yeah, we remember our supermodels of the 80s and 90s. They were all these very tall, 6 foot women, and they'd have these short boyfriends, wouldn't they? So it'll remind you when you saw them going out together of that scene out of Fantasia where the mops are dancing with the buckets, you know. But that being said, I do see this more and more. It'd be interesting if you do, wherever you are in the world, if you're seeing it, because I am a very skeptical person. I have a very suspicious mind, and I believe that this isn't just something that's happening naturally. Some process is helping this on its way, and you can go back to this Jeff Foxworthy saying, and you could sort of play about with that and see if you can use that to look at all these different things that have been done to the planet different to when we were younger and see if that's causing problems such as this. But basically, going back to the article, some taller women see it as a problem because there's a, again, am I allowed to say this? But there was always again, when I was growing up, you very rarely saw a woman with a shorter man. The man was always taller. And obviously this is still affecting some women because lots of clinics in Istanbul, Turkey, are doing this length shortening surgeries. And they can apparently shorten them up to 4 inches or something like that. They can shorten the thigh by up to 5.5 centimeters. It's in centimeters, and the calf by up to 3 centimeters. And there's serious risks involved in this surgery. And this is the other weird thing, okay? I first went to Turkey when there were hardly any hotels there. Went to a place called Kuşadası in 1986, and you could buy a loaf of bread from the local guy who had a little hut type of thing on wheels, and that was where they sold cigarettes and newspapers and stuff, and it was the equivalent of 3 pence. It was Turkish lira. Anyway, the other things they had out there, they had fake Lacoste t-shirts. That was the other thing. You'd be walking around and you'd hear them saying, Lacoste, Lacoste. And in the years since, I sort of went back there, and suddenly they've got fake everything. And it's got to the stage where they actually do some fakes where they'll get... You can pay up to $200 or pounds or something for a fake watch now, like a fake Rolex. But it's done so well that I understand you always used to be able to tell the difference because a Rolex, the second hand would flow rather than tick. I've never actually had the pleasure of seeing a real Rolex. I think I've looked at them through the window, but they don't tend to be going round and round. That was what I was told was the difference, whereas the fakes tick. And apparently I think they've overcome things like that now. But what they've done is they put a lot more... You know, when I was... You could buy fake watches, they were like £5. Do you know what I mean? So they were cheaper than a Seconda or something like that. Not much more expensive than a £2 one you'd get at a garage. But yeah, and I always remember there was one of us... Because we went to Turkey a lot as a family when I was younger. And we were getting a taxi somewhere, and he's driving us around, and we suddenly driving past some, or we're driving towards obviously like an abandoned taxi, all covered in dust and what have you, you know, looked like it was completely clapped out. And underneath on its back, with all its legs in the air, was a dead cat. And I'm sorry to chuckle, but the reason I'm doing so is the taxi driver turned round and he said, "Taxi kaput, catsy kaput." So there you go. I always remember that to this day. But I had a lot of good times in Turkey, but it's people going there mainly for dental procedures, stuff like that these days. And now I suddenly see all this, you know, I mean, I've had all sorts of operations in my life for reasons I got into earlier. And it's quite important that you go back to the person who did what they did. Do you know what I mean? For follow-ups and stuff like that. But I have heard stories of people getting back here and it's not quite gone the way it is and someone's trying to sort it out on the NHS and things like that. So I certainly would not fancy going on holiday to have my legs shortened. Let's just put it that way. Okay, let's move on to... Oh, delightful one here. Doctors remove 18-centimetre long living worm from man's brain. Well, this is a guy called, well, he's only called Li, and he was identified as that in the Chinese media, so this has happened over there. He'd had sort of problems, but it all stems from what they believe, is that years ago, this guy caught a snake and swallowed its raw gallbladder as a dare. He didn't think much of it at the time, but he had allowed a sphagnum larvae inside the snake to enter his body and eventually make its way to his brain, where it took residence. Sphagnosis is the larvae of the tapeworm Spirometramansoni, commonly found in frogs, snakes and birds. Eating raw or partially cooked tadpoles, frog meat, snake meat and other foods containing sphagnosis poses a big risk of ingesting larvae that can eventually settle in the brain and cause all sorts of problems, including death. So there's a lot more graphic details of what was actually happening to the guy when he was rushed to hospital, but I'm not going to get into that now. It's making me feel a bit queasy. OddityCentral.com is the place to go if you want to read more. A teenager poisoned his uncle's soup because he couldn't stand his snoring. This happened in Japan. A lot of their articles are from the from that part of the world, Japan, China, what have you. Apparently he poisoned his uncle because he just couldn't take his snoring anymore, the 18-year-old teenager told the police. And he poisoned him with oleander, which is an evergreen tree that blooms with red or white flowers and is commonly planted as a street or park tree. Its branches and leaves are toxic. Luckily, the teen's uncle, a 53-year-old self-employed man who lived with the boy and his mother, made a full recovery. Laurel is also toxic that you get here in the UK, because Malefica Scott pointed that out to me, because I was cutting a load of laurel down in my mum's garden and I was going to burn it. And he says, you've got to be careful because I think it gives off something akin to arsenic, something really bad. And of course, I know nothing about gardening, so I didn't know a great deal about that. I was pleased that he pointed it out, so I never ended up burning it. Got it taken away instead. China's grey hair reversing injection spark controversy. Now, this article immediately disputes whether an injection to reverse grey hair back to its original colour is actually real, or if it's actually possible, I think the word is. It says that in the article, dermatologists have said that the product's efficacy has not been scientifically proven. So it's still in dispute whether they can turn grey hair back to its original colour. I'm of that age now where I'm starting to go grey. Just on the sides at the bottom at the moment, but as I have long hair that's I tie back, it looks ridiculous when it's down, but I tie it back, and then if I'm sort of sat in my bed watching television, which is where I watch television, I put the pillows behind me and I lean my head on the pillows, and if I've got it tied up there, it digs into the back of my skull, the thing that the band or whatever it is that I put the hair through to put it into a sort of to tie it back. So I tend to not only do that when I'm only tie it back when I'm going out, something like that, or when I'm not watching the telly. But I did find yesterday I'd been out earlier and then I was watching something and there wasn't any problem. So I think it's as the hair's got a bit longer now, it's not all pushed into one place. So I hope that's the case. I've actually tied it back today and we'll be watching something after I record this when I have my breakfast. And hopefully if the doesn't dig in anymore, then that'll be part of my getting up routine in the morning. I wash my hair every day, put whatever I need into it, product to stop it going all fluffy and that, like my hair does, because it's very fine. And then tie it back straight away and leave it like that for until I go to bed. That would be perfect because it looks ridiculous all when it's not tied back. Okay, so again, I once had my hair coloured. I had blonde highlights put in when the Bros days were going, if you remember that band. And then after that, I had it dyed dark brown because I was growing it and I wanted to look like Eric Clapton on the back of the Journeyman cover. So we're talking about 89-90, that sort of period, and it looked ridiculous. And what I did notice, because it didn't suit my complexion, and I noticed when brushing it, it felt very brittle after it had been coloured. It felt different, and in the end I wanted all the coloured hair cut out at some point, and I had to have a grade 2 to get it cut out. And that's when I noticed that you could get the strongest gel, whatever it is, and when your hair is short and it's standing up, doesn't matter what you put on it, it's going to stand up again. Okay, however much you try to grease it down or what have you. That's what I found anyway with all the products that I tried, and I was using super strong gel and all sorts of stuff. So you're walking around like looking like a little toilet brush sticking up. But when you grow your hair longer and you tie it back, it does stay flat to your skull, which I think suits me a lot more. So that is the one benefit of having it like that. It's just a shame you have to tie it back as well. And it's a horrible... Anyone who has long hair will appreciate, if you're in the shower washing it and stuff like that, you get bits in your mouth and stuff like that. It's horrible. Don't like it at all. I'm only doing it because I think that they're going to lock us down again. I don't want to have to try and cut my hair again. But there you go. Okay, let's move on to the last one I've got from you from Oddity Central today. And that is, there's been a teacher who's been on sick leave for 16 years. So, well, let's just do the headline first. Teacher on sick leave for 16 years sues employer for asking her to prove her illness. Now, this is a teacher in Germany. She's been on sick leave since 2009. Under German law, teachers are classed as public servants and enjoy certain privileges, including taking a full salary while on indefinite sick leave. So, one thing that comes out of this story for me is I remember when I had a German girlfriend back in the late 90s, early part of this century. And she said that what happened in Germany is if you lost a job and you went on unemployment benefit, your benefit was based upon what you were earning at that job. So if you were on $100,000 a year, or its German equivalent back then, you'd get something similar to that. Whereas if you were on $10,000, you'd get something similar to that. Because they didn't want your lifestyle to be disrupted while you went on unemployment. It's crazy. But it was very beneficial to the people. But essentially what's happened, and I don't think they could afford it anymore, so that's all been changed. So the latest on it is a legal expert called Ralph Delgman told the Munich Eye that the outcome of this unusual case hinges on the outcome of the medical examination. So she is going to have it. But he anticipates that the teacher will not have to refund any payments received during her 16-year sick leave, as it will be virtually impossible for any examiner to prove she was not ill during that period. So there you go. She's going to have a examination, and they're going to determine if she's ill enough to be on sick leave. And if they say that she isn't, it's independent examination, then presumably they'll terminate her contract. But she's been earning around $84,000 per year, which adding up over the 16 years comes to over 1 million euros, so definitely over $1 million. There you go. Okay, so now we're going over to the Nexus News Feed that I told you about on Thursday's show, nexusnewsfeed.com. This is great fun. The other thing is I mentioned that the Nexus magazine is out of Australia. Well, when I get up in the morning, I've already got all the articles for today, for the day that I've got up on. Because, of course, if you remember when you're on New Year's Eve and you start looking at the celebrations coming in, it's always the people in Australia, New Zealand and those little islands around there that go into New Year first. So they're the furthest ahead of us in time. And so consequently, I believe this is out of Australia. So if I click on it now, and as I say, it's only 8:41 a.m. here in the UK. Just waiting for it to load up, see if I'm proven right or wrong. And yeah, I'm proven right. So you've got all the articles from September the 6th at the top. And there's a load of them. Because I have to go down very, very, very many columns until I get to September the 5th, and I can recognise some of them that I looked at yesterday. So yeah, this is a great little site, you know. Lots of little articles there, a real mixture of stuff. Roasted cauliflower and almond chowder, that's the title of an article from today. So food and cooking, they give you recipes too, but I'm just interested in all the weird conspiracy type stuff. And one thing that they do that I've noticed is they'll do like a little article and it's based upon something historic. And I'm going to read this to you now as an example, because we talked about sea serpents on Thursday's bonus show. So this is an article from yesterday. All it's called is The Daedalus Sea Serpent. The HMS Daedalus was said to have encountered a mysterious sea monster on the 6th of August 1848. It was named the Daedalus Sea Serpent after the ship whose crew had seen the creature. The crew saw the monster as they sailed between the Cape of Good Hope and St. Helena. It was described as being at least 60 foot long and swam with its head about 4 feet out of the water. They were able to watch the creature for a total of 20 minutes as it swam beside them. That's it. That's your article. And I think these things are quite fun, aren't they? And they seem to put something like this up each day, which presumably is something historic from their own archives, because they've been going for donkey's years. The only magazine similar to this is 14 Times, and they could do so much with their website if they used it for more than just getting a subscription, which is all their website appears to be used for. Otherwise, I'd be consulting them as well. But I'm going to see how I get along with this one. I did look at other things. Rumormillnews.com I had another look at, but I don't know, sort of blow hot and cold on that website. I'm going to see if I get enough material off this for the shows that I do, and if so, I'm just going to stick with this one. So if you want to be surprised, don't look at it yourself, and I will get all the news I think that you will find of interest out of it for you. But if you want to have a look at it, it is nexusnewsfeed.com. They also talk about a mystery disc in the Antarctic. So the headline is Mystery Disc in Antarctic Ice Sparks UFO Buzz, and there's a little picture of it there. Essentially, satellite sleuths recently spotted a dark disc-shaped anomaly in Antarctica, quickly fueling UFO speculation online. It's definitely something not shouldn't be in that area. It's something really very round, you know, smooth, so like a disc. And of course, it reminds me of the X-Files Fight the Future film that came out after Series 5, although it was actually filmed between the end of Series 4 and the start of Series 5. That's why you've only got 20 episodes in Series 5 rather than usual 24, because they needed that time to do the film. Useless information for you there. But at the end of it, a great big flying saucer comes out of the ice. But scientists have warned against jumping to extraterrestrial conclusions. Glaciologist Professor Bethan Davis says the most likely explanation is a small lake formed within a rock basin. The darker water absorbs more solar radiation, melting surrounding snow and creating the illusion of a circular arc rather than evidence of a crashed UFO. And then the last one from NexusNewsFeed.com is all about Bigfoot. And this is a lengthy article, and it's about some people 12 years ago who were driving through a small town called Branch, Newfoundland, and thought they saw Bigfoot. Now, Bigfoot is a bit like crop circles for me. It's one of those really, you know, conspiracy theories that don't really bother me. Going back to the X-Files, the best series is the first series, hands down. And I've proven it to myself, because when I went through the first five series, consistently through each series, the episodes that I saved were lower and lower and lower until there were literally two or three out of the fifth series. That's why I stopped there. But in the first series, there's one called The Jersey Devil, which is based on a Bigfoot type of thing. And just the whole anomaly did not interest me. I did watch it again recently. I listened to it, actually, rather than watch it. And there were some things in it that, you know, weren't too bad, but it's just not anything I found exciting. And going back to conspiracies and old-style conspiracies and thinking about it, I remember, and this was before I became a Christian, and I didn't know who I was talking to, you know, I don't think I was talking out loud, I just said to myself, you know, I just want to know who's controlling everything, you know, who's really doing this, because there's so many fingers pointing at all sorts of different people and groups and all these things. And I believe I was given that knowledge. It's all out there. I mean, I didn't need to go hunting around online. Just the words of Christ sort of tell you. The book of Revelation talks about it. And I believe that tallies up with what we've looking at today. And I believe it tallies up with when I was researching it nearly 20 years ago. And so I suppose part of me knowing who's controlling things, who the bad guys are, things like that. That's the main bulk of conspiracy stuff done, isn't it, really? So there's not a great deal left. So maybe that was where the excitement of getting into this sort of topic in the late 90s, early part of this century, was what made it exciting. And, you know, it kind of wore off since, because I've still been following things since, but it's not like anyone else has suddenly come along and changed what I discovered. There'll be new names, but they still represent the same interests. And I imagine that's why I've maybe got a bit bored with it. There you go. But anyway, another reason I've been looking at Nexus Newsfeed, not the Daily Mail, is because I find the Daily Mail can be quite inflammatory. And we're going to get into that in a moment, because before we do, there are three articles from the Daily Mail that I found yesterday. And I was very surprised to see this one. The headline is, millions at risk of rapid brain aging as six common artificial sweeteners are linked to decline. Now, we've all heard the story about how, what was his name? My mind's gone blank. The secretary, Donald Rumsfeld, he was supposed to be involved with aspartame, according to many sources in the independent media. I've not asked the guy, so I can't say for definite. But the allegation is that he went through some shenanigans to get it put through without it being properly tested. That's what is alleged, as I say. That's what people have alleged. I've not met the guy. I've not done my own research into aspartame because it's not something that interests me, but I have always stayed away from diet drinks. Not because of the aspartame or anything like that so much. It's just because they taste so awful when compared to the full fat originals, in my opinion. You know what I mean? But from this article, it says, in a new study, researchers in Brazil found aspartame, saccharin, acusulfame, potassium, erythritol, xylitol, and sorbitol all displayed a link to troubling declines in memory, language, and thinking skills. So there you go. I'll give you the headline of the article again. Millions at risk of rapid brain aging as six common artificial sweeteners are linked to decline. And there was another one similar, looking at the same study, that was talking more about fizzy drinks. But there was more information in this one, so I saved this one. But they were both from the Daily Mail yesterday, so some of them might still be up there. Certainly at this time of the day, they should be. Bike theft victims in London. Right, get this. There's been a survey. Not a survey. This is official figures. And 6,721 bikes have been reported stolen to the Metropolitan Police, or the Police for London, in the first 6 months of this year. But just 39 cases have come to a positive outcome, which is basically when anyone is either charged, prosecuted, or even cautioned for... So they found out who did it, all right? Whatever happened to them, but they found that, and they were successful. Did they recover the bike? Well, they found out who did it, so they probably did. But 39 out of 6,721 is only 0.6% of the cases, whereas you have an 11% chance of winning any prize on the national lottery. So the Daily Mail headline on this is, bike theft victims in London more likely to win the lottery than get their bicycle back, new crime stats suggest. There you go. And again, it's all about priorities, isn't it? And it's about who, you know, who's telling these people what to do. Well, they're obviously not telling them to investigate bike thefts, but they never seem to have any shortage of manpower when it comes to arresting people for holding up signs at a demonstration or posting something online that someone else doesn't like. Never notice any shortage of manpower then. And the last one from the Daily Mail, I'm not really going to get into the Daily Mail itself, but the Pam Bondi in the United States is considering banning transgender people from purchasing firearms. And the quote is from the Department of Justice, individuals within the DOJ are reviewing ways to ensure that mentally ill individuals suffering from gender dysphoria are unable to obtain firearms while they are unstable and unwell. And this is after the mass shooting in Minneapolis last week. Well, my suspicious mind again, going into overdrive, I looked at that and I remember that saying, first they came for these people, then they came for these people, and I said nothing, and all this sort of stuff, and it comes up, and then they came for me. Well, we know how much they've been after the firearms, and I'm going to give you an old-school conspiracy theory name. Ted Gunderson. You remember Ted Gunderson? He was the head of lots of different FBI organisations in different cities. And then did he go rogue? Well, he was appearing on a lot of independent stroke conspiracy radio shows saying that they were going to have school shooting after school shooting until they get the guns. Well, they've not been too successful, so it makes me think maybe they're going to try a different strategy. And they've used the mainstream media, elements of it, certainly the more right-wing elements of it, to demonise certain groups over a period of time. And if they then think of the support that, and right-wing groups tend to be the people that, you know, I'm not giving up my firearms, that sort of thing. Do you see what I mean? But what if they're working out a way in to get support? So right-wing groups say, well, actually, you know, that's a good thing to take the firearms off these people because it goes against their right-wing ideologies. That could be the way that they're trying to get in. And so then they'll come out and say, well, that worked, you know, that's lowered the problem. So maybe we'll go after another group, another group, another group, another group, and suddenly they only really need to get the firearms off the people that are a threat to the government. That's basically it. So they could be going through that little stepping stones process of doing it a group at a time and justifying it by saying, well, look, since we took them off that group, there's been no more shootings by that group, so that works. Now we'll go for another group. Until in the end, they come and get yours. If you have a firearm, I wouldn't even want one if, well, I was able to, say I was an American citizen, I was able to get one. But that's just me. Just watching them on the telly is enough for me. Okay, so let's have a look and see what's going on right now in the mainstream media. So we'll start off with Associated Press. APnews.com, when it finally opens up. Trump seeking ways to take over 9/11 memorial in New York City. So I don't know quite what that's supposed to mean, taking it over. But anyway, OpenAI and other tech companies to improve chatbot safety is the second headline down. Let's move on to Reuters.com, see what's going on over there. Exclusive, Bill Pulte accused Fed Governor Lisa Cook of fraud. His relatives filed housing claims similar to hers. So apparently this Federal Reserve Governor has been accused of improperly claiming primary residence on two properties. Yeah, if you're interested in that, you can go and look at it over there. BBC News, let's do their top 10. Just little drink of water while that is loading up. Scroll down. You get the top 5 videos first. And then you scroll down to the top. Well, it's actually right underneath today. Top 5 most watched. Don't click on them if you don't have a TV license, folks, because that's BBC iPlayer. And you can't watch that now without a TV license. At some point, I'm sure you were able to. It was only if you were watching it live. But of course, they want to get as many people getting licenses as possible. So I just don't go near stuff like that because every click they can backtrack, right? So they will be able to at some point say, oh, you clicked on that. You can click on it because sometimes you can click on it and read a description. Just don't hit the play button. But believe me, they don't put a lot in the description because they want you to hit the play button. And then you click on a couple of articles and they ask you to... It's better when you log into the BBC. It's better when you have an account. Yeah, better for who, I wonder. Okay, top 10, number 10. Humble and sweet, but a lion. The story of the first female £1 million player. Number 9, man dies after suspected shark attack in Sydney. Number 8, faced with an almighty mess. Prime Minister opts for a big shake-up. Number 7, fire breaks out at BBC's former headquarters television centre. I believe that was converted into flats. It's over in White City in London. Number 6, in full, Rayner, PM and ethics advisors letters on her resignation. This is the Deputy Prime Minister, Angela Rayner, touched on that on Thursday's show because there was something that she'd been doing with stamp duty on her property, which is a tax that you pay, excuse me, here in the UK when you buy a property, alleged to be some sort of improper conduct involving it. She has gone. So we have a new David Lammy, who was the Foreign Secretary, is now the Deputy Prime Minister and also, I believe, Justice Secretary. Yvette Cooper has been moved to Foreign Office and somebody I haven't heard of has been moved into the Home Office. That's how they've shook this all up. But they were talking about the Daily Mail. Well, we'll wait till we get there. I think they're talking about it being a demotion, but I always thought when we had that guy, what was his name? He was Conservative Foreign Secretary when Boris Johnson had to go into hospital for COVID, and he was the one that they were looking at as the sort of stand-in for him while he was gone, and he'd have to be the acting Prime Minister if he died of the COVID, what have you, you know, at the time. People have said a lot about that since, but that's basically the story at the time. Unfortunately, I can tell you as the MP for Esher, but if his name comes to me, then I'll bring it up, but I can't think of it on the top of my head now. Number five, three British nationals among 16 killed in Lisbon crash. That's the tram crash that I touched on the last show. Sad that all those people died. And there were many different nationalities amongst them. Number four, how I fell for jailed amputee surgeon's sepsis lie. This is an interesting story. Some person cut off his legs when he didn't have to. It was for some sort of peculiar benefit to himself. I mean, I found the whole story quite distasteful, though I didn't really read beyond that information, but it's there if you wish to. Number three, the great Rayner reshuffle and nightmare on Downing Street. Number two, Rosenberg, what's behind Putin's uncompromising stance? And number one, the sunscreen scandal shocking Australia. That sounds like the sort of thing you might find in odditycentral.com, doesn't it? Okay, let's go to the Daily Mail. And I'm going to go back to what I mentioned earlier. So, so it says, top story, Keir's nightmare on Downing Street, Angela Rayner's residence. So that's obviously the headline that the BBC article is referring to there. It's this headline. Keir's nightmare on Downing Street, Angela Rayner's resignation sparks chaotic reshuffle and a civil war for the soul of Labour as Yvette Cooper and David Lammy both lose their jobs. Well, I would have thought going from Foreign Secretary to Deputy Prime Minister would be a promotion, because you're the deputy, you're the number two. Anything happens to, you know, Keir Starmer's away, then you stand in Parliament at Prime Minister's questions. You're the one who takes them. But they don't seem to think so here. And Yvette Cooper, again, she was Home Secretary. Well, Foreign Secretary, I would have thought, was a promotion on Home Secretary. It's certainly looked at. I think that the top job is regarded, obviously, Prime Minister. And as I say, this character during COVID was the Foreign Secretary, was regarded as a deputy. And I think on a similar level is the Chancellor, which is that Rachel Reeves character. And then you go below that, and then it's Home Secretary. That was the hierarchy, certainly I was aware of when I was growing up, and I followed a lot of politics. I had a subscription to Private Eye because I believed back then that they were actually alternative. But how alternative? I didn't read anything about control of certain institutions in the Private Eye for some strange reason, but there you go. So, but I was quite into it, thinking that I was finding things out. Now, I mentioned that I was getting quite frustrated with the Daily Mail, which is why I look for other things to look at. And I said that I felt that some of their articles or headlines seemed to be quite inflammatory. Now, I'm going to give you a headline from that. I'll give you an example of this. Sue Reed, so that's obviously the person who wrote it. As billions are spent buying up flats and houses for asylum seekers with locals moved out, how long until a group of small boat migrants are moved into a house in your street? And your is in capitals. So in that, just that one headline, they're talking about local people being moved out of their area. It's their area. And how long until some small boat migrants are moved into their area? That's what it's all. And it seems like it's trying to, you know, get the sort of person watching this, oh, I'm not having that sort of attitude. Do you see what I mean? Like trying to rile people up. And I was listening to another show this week that it was Paul English Live at paulenglishlive.com. And they made the point that we're seeing increasingly, it looks like the government and, you know, any people who sort of sing off the same hymn sheet seem to be trying to rile people up into some sort of civil disobedience at the moment, because then that then gives them excuse for something like a martial law, like a lockdown, that sort of thing. And when I read headlines such as that, I think that that is, I see that as inflammatory. Now, I might be wrong, but that's the way I see it. I wouldn't put a headline like that as a show title, for example, because it looks inflammatory. But the Daily Mail seems to have no problem with it. But then again, I believe that there were some people were exempted, or some organisations were somehow exempted from the Online Safety Act, and some weren't. Interesting, isn't it? Okay, let's move on to see what's going on in the independent media. So we've done the mainstream, let's go over to the independent. Rents.com. See what's going on over there. His show from yesterday, actually. Great lineup. You've got Madeline Gerwick with her monthly astrological report for the first hour. And then you've got Nurse Anne, who's one of my favourites, with her update on what's happening with all things COVID in the second hour. And then you've got Father Paul Kramer with his assessment of the current Pope in the third hour. And I heard a little bit on him early on when the Pope came in. And he was like, well, I can't really say a lot about him because I don't know a lot about him. We have to see what he does when he's in there. And of course, he's been in there quite a while now. So I think it's quite a good time to go and have a listen to see what his assessment of what the Pope's actions have been since he's been in. Because he was highly critical of the previous Pope. And I wouldn't disagree with him. So I'm looking forward to listening to those 3 hours later today. I've already saved them because I'm a subscriber. You might find some of them on rents.com for free. But otherwise, go to rentsradio.com and you can get a subscription there. So let's quickly scroll down, have a look at a couple of his news articles. Top one, World War III has never been closer. Situation more dire than at any time during the Cold War. That reminds me, we've got one of these things happening tomorrow, where you get an alarm going off on your phone. It's like a government alert. I already got my text message, and apparently it'll still go off, even if your phone's on silent. It overrides that. That's what I believe I read. But I just deleted the text when I got it. I wish I'd kind of kept it now, then I could have read it out to you. But yeah, that happens tomorrow. And I was speaking to someone yesterday, and they said, oh, the last time they did that was just before COVID. And I said, I remember they did do that. I don't think I got it at the time. I didn't get the alert. But yeah, that's what he said. And he said, oh, I'm really wondering what's going to happen tomorrow. What's going to happen? Because it's going to be tomorrow, Sunday. So this, maybe the article on Before It's News was right. And something major is going to happen today. But then you won't get your thing here in the UK, your emergency alert. But we will see. Have to keep our eyes on all these things. Always on tenterhooks. But let's move on to HalTurnerRadioShow.com. See what's going on over there. I'll just give you the headlines. US military members arrested for opposing Israeli genocide. Bulletin, US cancels funding for East Europe defence, will draw down US troops in Europe. The next one is for subscribers only. US walks out of Coalition of the Willing meeting on Ukraine. And Saudi Arabia and Iraq cut oil shipments to India. They're your top headlines at the moment on that website. Earthnewspaper.com, Mark R. Else's website. See what's going on over there. The top video, it's 3 minutes 24, it's Rumble, it's by Al Jazeera. Israeli settlers repeatedly attack 1600-year-old St. George Monastery in West Bank. Talked about the West Bank on Thursday's show. So let's move on to finish off with the Before It's News top 10. Never know, that article I mentioned earlier might have found its way into the top 10 since this show started. We will find out. So scroll down to number 10. Went up a day ago, 51 people viewing live, Steve Quayle and Doug Hagman, Jonathan Kahn. Number 9. Went up 10 hours ago, 52 people viewing. Navy SEALs. Oh, the page has jumped. I'll start again. Number 9 went up 10 hours ago, 52 people viewing. Navy SEALs expose the truth about why Antarctica is off limits. Number 8, well, 8 hours ago, 67 people viewing. Benjamin Fulford, Urgent Emergency 9625. They were all executed at Gitmo. This is the headline that we regularly see when we do this show Saturday morning. I think he's trolling somebody, maybe even me, with the "they were all executed at Gitmo" line. I see it so often. Number 7 went up 5 hours ago, 72 people viewing. David Nino Rodriguez, get ready, 9625. Trump fires the first shot and all hell is about to loose. Number 6 went up 5 hours ago, 73 people viewing. Martin Armstrong, shocking disclosure, war, Trump's new $500 note and volcanoes. A bit of a mixed bag there. Number 5 went up 5 hours ago, 108 people viewing. Situation update, 9625. Trump is back, Gazara no longer a secret. Kathy O'Brien drops Epstein intel. Number 4 went up 5 hours ago, 111 people viewing. Judy Byington, unredacted, Trump military alliance arrested, Judy Byington, unredacted, Trump military alliance arresting worldwide. Expect rolling blackouts. Number 3 went up 5 hours ago, 129 people viewing. Wano Savin, big intel, 9625. Trump under fire, Epstein survivors demand justice. Number 2 went up 13 hours ago, 161 people viewing. And we know, 9525, RFK Jr. battles demonic powers. Mass extinction event thwarted. Farmer jabs Rothschild. And number 1 went up 5 hours ago, 193 people viewing. News treason, Trump and Q secret military op, 9625. Worldwide military raids explode. Okay, so that is the show for today. I want to thank all of you for joining me on I'm Talking To You, episode 254. If today is your 67th birthday, you might be Jeff Foxworthy. I'm going to record the traditional Christian message that will be on tomorrow now, and that will be back on Tuesday. Until then, folks, have a wonderful week. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.